Howdy doody.
This is the Dana and Parks Podcast.
Yes, ma'am, me all day long.
Okie dokie.
Dana Wright, what do you think of Britney Spears for doing the halftime show as a possibility?
Why are we still talking about her? Didn't her 15 minutes expire years ago?
She may do the Super Bowl this year.
Why?
Right? Yeah. I mean, look, you got to pick somebody.
She can do a show, though. It'll be entertaining.
The thing is with the Super Bowl, let me just say this. You have to choose someone who crosses across all lines.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she is not. She does not fit that bill, period. It's got to be the Stones or Garth Brooks or someone that even a person who is a casual music listener will not say, man, I hate that person.
You know, right. I almost am of the opposite. I think what they're shooting for is not football fans to make it a spectacle.
Yeah, but who is your, to be quite honest, if you are a Britney Spears fan, you are a young gay man.
Or you're us. I mean, you're this age.
I listened to her when I was in high school.
No, a bunch of people from the station when we went out to Vegas went and saw her.
Yeah, that's right. A bunch of people that went to Wicked.
Was that real or is like as a joke?
No, for real.
Early 30s? Jokes. I don't know.
Those tickets weren't cheap. If you're going as a joke, you're spending money.
Who's the best artist? Who would you put up there?
Someone that can just rock all of it, dead or alive. It would be someone like Prince. It would be someone that just, everyone can be like, okay, that was great.
Yeah.
You know?
Didn't Bruno Mars do it 2 years ago?
Bruno Mars is a good one. Yeah. I think you've got to be careful with country because a whole lot of people don't like country. Mm-hmm. But I would say the same thing about Britney Spears, that you are cutting out, or Gaga. Of your audience there if you choose someone like her.
What are you guys doing on your show today?
I loved your conversation about the, I'm going to call it a crisis at our 911 center.
Yes.
Right.
We will weigh in on that. We're going to talk about the heat. I actually almost passed out. I'm not asking for sympathy. You got to be careful out there today. If you are working outside and listening to us, God bless you. Keep drinking water. Right. I am actually worried for people.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right, really, Damon Parks coming up next.
Get ready to expose yourself. Something different can help you maximize your brand exposure with Facebook advertising. Are you using Facebook ads? Want tips to step up your game? Facebook ads can be highly profitable, and there are many ways to make them more effective. That's where Something Different can help you. Something Different can help find an audience for your business. Something Different can help you advertise on Facebook, Google, YouTube, local TV, and more. Call now to discuss your marketing efforts. 816-753-8000. That's 816-753-8000. Or visit online at somethingdifferent.com.
Howdy doody.
This is the Dana and Parks Podcast.
Yes, ma'am, me all day long.
Okie dokie.
Did you guys hear about Joe's KC? Ranked number one in America?
I prefer calling it Oklahoma Joe's, but please do go ahead.
Yes. New York Post, I believe, has put the list out. The 20 best, America's best steakhouses and barbecue joints. Joe's is right at the top of the list.
Number one.
Love it.
The original gas station when I said, not the one in Leawood.
Of course.
I love it. I still wish they would just go by Oklahoma Joe's.
Why did they change the name? What was the problem with that?
Did someone buy it or did they split off, I think?
Well, they weren't anywhere in Oklahoma, you know?
I know.
It's Kansas City. Why are we calling it Oklahoma?
I don't know. It was just
okay. Just Joe's KC, just it's, I think for the people who've lived in this town a long time, it's like the Grandview Triangle. I refuse to call it, I just can't. If I go get barbecue down Mission Road and then you turn this way, down Shawnee Mission Parkway to Mission Road, I'm going to Oklahoma Joe's. For the rest of my life, that's where I'm going.
I've noticed one thing in 30 plus years in this city. This town does not like being told that something's getting renamed.
We do not like change.
A la Sandstone.
The only thing.
Right. I'm going to Sandstone.
I'm trying to think. The only thing I think that has stuck is Kaufman.
Right.
And it was because the city adored the Kaufman family.
Right. What was it before? The Royal Stadium?
Royal Stadium.
Okay.
Well, that in the fact, Kaufman Stadium's just.
One thing I always hated, though, was
the K.
The K. Heading out to the K.
I get yelled about that on the text line every time I say the K. Somebody goes, it's Kaufman.
Okay, do you know what did stick? I'll give you this. KFC. That used to be Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's true.
And the word fried was considered to be taboo.
So we're going to call it KFC, and maybe people won't think they're eating fried chicken. But it stuck.
It did. It worked.
The point is it stuck, and I don't know why that works. But other brand name changes fail.
Somebody says Oklahoma Joe's is now a national franchise. There's one in Lincoln, Nebraska.
I think they split, Scott. So let's say
Joe's KC are the original ownership in Kansas City.
The original owner stayed here, Joe's KC. I think the other owner split off, kept the name, and took it to Nebraska.
So that's a good point. Why do we call it Nebraska Furniture Mart when they're in Kansas? Shouldn't it be the Kansas Furniture Mart?
Well, but they're based in Omaha.
I understand.
And so Warren Buffett, so he could do whatever he wants.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I pretty much can.
Have you ever heard the story that he has not given his children or grandchildren a dime?
Yeah, and won't in his will.
And won't.
My uncle, who is very wealthy, is not planning to give his children any of his money.
That bothers me.
And they're
me.
All doing fine.
Shouldn't you pass on some of your wealth so that future generations will continue on and do well? I don't understand that.
Bill Gates was the same way, saying he wasn't going to give his kids any when he dies. Right. So,
I mean, I'm all for curing malaria, Bill. But if I'm Bill Gates' kid, I'm going to go, really?
Come on.
I don't care if my uncle doesn't give any to his kids. Just give some to your nephews.
Right.
I'll give one hot damn.
Would you be mad if your mom died and gave every dime to the church? I would be livid if I was you.
I would be very upset if she gave all of her money just to my brother.
I was going
to
say, that would be the one.
That would be like...
No.
Then you know you're not the favorite.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. That's like leaving a waitress a penny so they know the service was bad and you didn't forget.
That would just be confirmation of what I already know.
No, if she gave everything to the church.
She loves the church.
She does love that Jesus. I would be a little hurt because...
I would be so pissed. I would be mad for you.
My mom's not rich, but my dad did a really good job investing his money.
Good.
And so, I mean, she lives in a townhouse in Western Shawnee. She's not in some...
She's comfortable.
It's a nice little townhouse.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if we, knock on wood, it never happens, but we all know it will. If we're sitting in that lawyer's office and he's the... guy reading the will, and it just says, I, Margaret Parks, of sound mind and body, bequeath all of my money to Wallula Christian Church in Lansing, Kansas. My jaw would probably hit the floor.
I would go knocking on the door of that church in Lansing and go, aw, hell no.
Jesus wouldn't want you to keep all of it.
What if she just...
would want you to share with me.
What if she skipped you and just gave it to your daughters?
I'd be okay with that. Okay. And then I'd be like, Sarah.
Here's the deal.
Here's how you sign your name on the bottom of that check.
I'm going to invest
S-O-T-T.
That for you.
Yeah, I'm going to invest that for you. In my account.
Okay, so really quick, I told you my run, do not walk.
Oh, man, I'm sorry that I didn't run and do not walk to the Amelia Earhart special on the History Channel.
Well, that was phenomenal. But my run, do not walk yesterday was The Keepers on Netflix. There are seven episodes. I could not stop. I came home last night, had nothing to drink, by the way, which for me on a Tuesday is, notable. Let's just call it notable.
It's
because
no kid night.
It's no kid night. I went straight home. I cleaned up the kitchen. I went into my bedroom and I turned that sucker on because there's seven episodes and I was on number four. I did 5 through 7 last night. I finished it. I told Travis, run, do not walk. Here's the problem with true unsolved murder documentaries like this.
I think I'm still walking, by the way.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten there
go
yet.
Go ahead and walk on that one because let me tell you something. I don't read a lot of books. Dana probably hits him pretty close to being out of the park with the books that she recommends. Everybody's always writing in. Hey, what was the name of the book that Dana was just talking about?
People write in all the time. I loved the best book I ever read.
But honey, on TV, you're not batting very well.
You don't think?
No.
D.B. Cooper?
D.B. Cooper, you told us to run, do not run.
Oh, it was so good.
To D.B. Cooper. And then the last hour of the show, they basically told
you. We don't know who he is.
We have no idea who this person was. And we have no idea where D.B. Cooper is. Then, the other day, Travis, you may recall, she was running around the newsroom going crazy about, oh my God, did you happen to see the Amelia Earhart special on the History Channel? What was it, Sunday night or whatever it was? To a person in the newsroom, we all said no. Guess what? The picture that they based that show out of for 2 hours of your life turns out to be a fake.
Well, they're saying they don't think it's her and that photo came from a book in the 1930s.
2 years before she went missing.
Well, maybe she went twice.
And you know, that's two strikes right there. And the third strike is there's a documentary out and it's about kids playing, what was
trash.
This one? Yes.
Wait. Landfill Harmonica was phenomenal.
Full of subtitles. Could understand one word.
What, you looked at the Spanish one. You've got to watch the English one.
Yeah, me and Mike still can't find that one.
Hey, music knows no language, Travis.
Yeah, really? Strike
you
three
tried
means
listening
you're out.
To something in a foreign language.
I like the Macarena.
Here is when it comes to anything that you recommend. That do you like La Bamba?
La Bamba.
When it comes to anything on TV that you recommend. The three of us have all determined it to be
fake news.
It's not good advice.
The name of my new run, Do Not Walk, is The Keepers on Netflix. I finished it last night. The only thing I will say to you, and when I posted this on Facebook, everyone that weighed in said the same thing. Everyone who weighed in said the same thing. It made them so angry. So you have to weigh, do I want to give that time of my life to watch something very good, factually accurate about the unsolved murder of a nun in 1969.
That will utterly irritate you?
That will make you so angry that I could not go to sleep last night because you just lay there and you stew for what has happened in the city of Baltimore. Mm. So that's all I'm going to say. If you like being mad and angry, like tossing and turning, you're so ticked off, run, do not walk. But if you're looking for a nice, happy bow at the end of this, you're not going to get a happy rainbow. There is no rainbow.
Fake news.
But who really wants to watch a show where you're just so ticked off?
I mean, okay, did you watch 12 Years a Slave?
Yes.
It made me so mad.
So I actually
but it's
watched
phenomenal.
12 Years a Slave and The Butler all in this. And all in 2 days period.
Travis, you got to break up your black historic movies.
How did you not come in here and just start beating up white people?
Well, John goes, are you sure you want to work with me today? Because you're not going to like us.
Travis.
So anytime you ask me to do something, I was like, you know I'm not your butler, right?
You have
so
to put a comedy in between 12 Years a Slave and The Butler. You got to put some, there's got to be a slavery buffer.
Slavery buffer.
Call me next time because I watch all of those. You need a slavery buffer. Just like when I read historical World War II fiction, you need a World War II buffer in between your next Holocaust-type book.
I need a black slave and then a white slave and then another black slave.
Yes.
Okay.
Find me a white person that has been wronged in between the black people.
Let me know when you find that.
It's like an Oreo. Ooh, it's like an Oreo. It's a movie Oreo. That's what you need. Call me.
You can watch like that Ten Commandments or something. Because they were white slaves.
Okay.
Granted, that was about 5,000 years ago.
Right.
But they were white slaves. For all intents and purposes. You watched The Butler and 12 Years a Slave on the same sitting?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Did you join, like, the new Black Panther party after that?
Let's just say me and John didn't see eye to eye that night.
Stupid cracker.
That's when I just started calling him Rod Honkies.
Shut up, Honky.
Are you stale and out of touch? If your company relies on old school marketing, let Something Different show you how to open the door to new sales. Something Different's advertising experts can get your products in front of the right audience. Something Different can help you advertise on Facebook, Google, YouTube, local TV, and more. Call us now to discuss your marketing efforts at 816-753-8000. That's 816-753-8000. Or visit online at somethingdifferent.com.
Sure do hope this is a long night. Cause I've never felt one so right. Each look into your eyes and fall in a little more and more. Looks like we started us a fire, wrapped up in flames of desire, with every touch they're burning higher. Two shadows dancing on the wall, with nothing on but the rain.
576-7798. An op-ed here from CNN, and it's actually written by their morning news anchor, Allison Camerota, who many of you may remember used to be over at Fox. She's now over at CNN in the mornings. And the headline is, why I'm breaking up with Twitter. And shows even a picture of, if you go online to on Twitter to at Allison Camerota, it now says this account does not exist. Try searching for another. She is gone.
Wow.
She's left Twitter.
Okay.
And Twitter, of course, as many of you know, many of you are probably on it. Dana and I are both on it. She's at Radio Dana. I'm at Parks KMBZ. I know Travis is on there. But she writes, and I quote, "Dear Twitter and attention trolls, it's over. I'm breaking up with you. I know it's sad. We've been together for a long time. Remember my first tweet in May of 2009? Happy Mother's Day. My God, listen to how hopeful I sounded. Back then, I believed your promises that you would help me connect with people, that you'd be an agent for good in the world, that you'd get my messages out, that you'd help build a community. Back then, you'd surprise me with flower emojis and thoughtful comments. Back then, it was still thrilling to check in with you every day to see how many new followers you'd brought me. Ah, those were the days. But something's happened to you. You're a shadow of your former self, the one I was first attracted to. It's no fun to be with you anymore. You've become mean and verbally abusive.
Yes.
In fact, you gross me out. You're a cesspool of spleen venting from people who think it's acceptable to insult other people in public and anonymously. I don't mean to be harsh. Occasionally, you do let a nice, thoughtful person sneak through with a positive comment or constructive criticism, and I want you to know how much that means. It's wonderful to get compliments, and you've certainly given me folders full. I've also appreciated the respectful disagreement from kind followers." She goes on and on. And then she says, and I'll try to make sense of this, because there's a part that cut the story out for me, but she says, "Of course, some of this is my fault. I've been leading you on. I've made you think I like you more than I really do. The truth is, I haven't cared about you for a long time. I'm done with the people who spread racism, misogyny, anti-Semitism.
Yep.
Perhaps it's worse than I know. Maybe you're struggling with addiction. Addiction to outrage. It is a powerful drug. I wish I could help you kick it." Lastly, I'll end with this. She says, or she writes, "I feel its pull sometimes too. But I don't want to be sucked in. All I can do is save myself from the bitter, dark places where you, Twitter, like to dwell." I could go through just my feed in the last 24 hours and read you. I'm apparently a douchebag. I'm a word I can't say. Oh, there's another word I can't say on the radio.
Here's what I'll say, and I don't want to make this a political conversation. I really don't. The last election really, I don't want to say ruined Twitter for me. I'm on about a tenth of the amount of time that I used to be. A tenth. Because 90% of what you see on Twitter right now is just spewing hatred back and forth between parties.
On both sides.
On both sides. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I just need to do a mass unfollowing of news people and political people, and it would be more fun. Maybe I need to follow more comedians and TV people. But even when you get into Hollywood, Scott, they're posting about Trump. 90% of what I see on Twitter is about Trump.
You know, and
I just don't care. I don't care anymore.
And
we're stuck with him for probably the next 3 years.
At least.
I don't care anymore. There's nothing we can do about it. He is the man you people elected, period. I'm tired of seeing the hatred.
But I will say this, the hatred against Trump or from Trump supporters? Or both?
I'm just tired of all of it.
See, here's what I've decided.
Because there's nothing that can be done. Yeah. So
And I am not, I was not a Hillary Clinton supporter, didn't vote for her, but I was also not a Donald Trump supporter. But I do and have engaged in political back and forth. I got a message the other day on Facebook and from a guy who apparently is on Twitter too. And he just went on and on and on. It was actually a pretty thoughtful write. And he just was mentioning, "Scott, you obviously are not a Trump supporter, and that's fine." Mm-hmm. I don't think he was either. He says, but you cannot engage in politics on Twitter anymore. You cannot win.
It's worthless.
And it's both sides. As you pointed out, Dana, you simply cannot win. Because if you dare to put something out there
right,
and try to invoke thought or discussion, and I'll be fair and honest, sometimes I don't do that. Sometimes I've gotten so frustrated like many other people, but my name is on it and I own it. I don't go by some fake name on Twitter. I go by my real name. But then I'll wake up the next morning and look on Twitter or something and just kind of scroll through the news feed, and then I'll see the notifications that I have. And it'll be 100 or 90. And it's mostly filled with people telling me to go blank myself.
Right. So I don't need that in my life. And quite frankly, I don't care enough about a stranger's opinion to log onto Twitter very often and look.
So why are we on it now?
Because during a breaking news event, it is invaluable to what we do. If you are into news, if you are a news consumer and you care that five police officers were shot in Dallas, is an example, that news, Boston bombing, breaks on Twitter. You first start to see it there. And so I use Twitter to check in when there's something notable going on, not necessarily a tragedy. You know, I told you, for instance, I was watching The Keepers over the last two nights. Mm-hmm. You can go on and find hashtag Keepers and then see all of the news about that case and the city trying to reopen that investigation and what's happening with the players.
Right.
You can follow things that interest you. I think where Twitter has gone afoul, if you will, and it's not even Twitter's fault. This is just where human nature took it, is political garbage and mudslinging back and forth because of the election and the political climate in America. I really do think after this election cycle, Twitter will go back to mostly just being news of the day. I really do.
What do you mean after this election cycle? It's been over for 8 months.
But I think once we're out of the Trump, I personally do not think there is any chance in hell he will have a second term. And so I think after this next 3 years is over and we get him out.
Well, let's be honest. I'm done writing his political obituary.
But I'm not saying Republicans will lose the election. I think it will be a different Republican in office. That's my guess. I think Republicans could win again. I think they're going to win again with somebody else, if that makes sense.
Kara, do you spend a lot of time on Twitter?
It depends on the day. Sometimes I do.
576-7798. Allison Camerata from CNN's morning show wrote a very thoughtful and well-written op-ed today on CNN.com where she gave all the reasons that she is breaking up with Twitter. And if you go looking for her on Twitter now, you will not find her. Who was it the other day? Ed Sheeran.
Yep.
Said on the Today Show, him, that he's getting off of Twitter. He's finished. And he had millions of followers. But he said he just got sick and tired of waking up every day being told how ugly he was and nerdy he was and how terrible his music was. And he says, I'm just done. I'm going to focus on things more positive. But I'm telling you, and I've said this from day one, who you are when you think you're anonymous is who you really are. That's the real dark, no social contract holding you back, you. 576-7798. Get to more of your calls, your comments here in just a moment. You're on Dan and Parks.
At Something Different, you climb the mountain, we'll tell the world. Behind each business lies a great story. How well the story is told is the key to your success. Something Different is a unique full-service agency comprised of a highly experienced, talented, and versatile staff. We combine marketing expertise, art, and technology, providing your company with a distinct competitive edge. Tell Something Different your story, 1-866-VIDEO-14, or online at somethingdifferent.com.
Good. Really good. Had a great time.
Good. I'm glad you did. My brother raved about it. Said Ghost is weird.
Ghost is weird. Yeah. I caught the end of their set. Yeah, and they're just weird.
Weird and good.
But Maiden was great. They were, you would not think that these were old guys that had been out on the road for almost 40 years.
Yeah, right. We were talking about Allison Camerata over at CNN, who has just taken herself off of Twitter. She's removed her Twitter handle and all that. Ed Sheeran, the singer, removed his as well last week. And Camerata and Ed Sheeran both did it for the same reason.
Hey, so goes Ed Sheeran, so goes the world.
That's right.
Thank you, Rodney.
That's
I agree.
Exactly right.
Really quick, let me just say this one thing. And I don't think because I know someone in my life who did this, this is necessarily the way it is around the world, but it's an interesting idea. Someone in my family logged off of and basically stopped posting on Facebook this year. And I reached out to her and I said, where have you been? Oh my God, I missed your pictures. And she said, you know what? I think most people my age are going to Instagram. And here's why. Instagram is Facebook and Twitter without politics. Instagram is photos, which is always what you said, Scott, you love about Facebook. Mm-hmm. Photos of puppies and flowers and sitting on a beach drinking a margarita. It's photos. And you can put a little comment by the photo. But no one on Instagram posts a photo of Donald Trump and says, idiot, which then garners 56 angry comments back and forth. Instagram, and I've started posting more and more on Instagram in the last probably 6 months. It's all just happy pictures, Scott. That's it. It's everything you love about Facebook, minus the trolls and the political anger.
They're coming.
And so
yeah.
The girl in my life who said this is probably 32, 33. And she said, Instagram makes me happy. It's just photos of people that I love and friends mm-hmm. of mine. And there is no awfulness there. And so I wonder if that's where we're seeing Snapchat and Instagram do really, really well. And Twitter and Facebook has kind of gone to the old people who are really angry politically right now.
Well, listen to this story. Some 41% of Americans, 41%, say they have been victims of online harassment, according to a new Pew Research Center study. One in five Americans, so 20%, say they've been subjected to severe forms of harassment online, like physical threats, sexual harassment, even stalking. Other cases involved name-calling or efforts to embarrass someone. The study found that some try to stop the abusive behavior online when they see it. 3 in 10 say they have intervened on behalf of others online. But overall, participants in the study said companies should be the ones enforcing civility online. Well,
companies?
Facebook's going to do that with 1.6 billion users?
They're going to tell you to be nice?
Twitter is going to monitor people for, quote, abusive yes. How in the world does Twitter police that website?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I feel like the social media thing is supposed to be fun, and it can be. Here's the thing. There's part of it that is a reflection of you. What you've gone out and followed and what you choose to go look at is part of what is pissing you off. My Twitter, I don't follow those people. I don't get into those discussions. I do, you know, fun joke stuff. And
you do. You do funny stuff and pictures of Roman.
Yeah, and everybody's nice to me. And I don't get into those conversations because I don't want to have those conversations. I hate politics. It's not something I want to discuss. So I don't care what you think.
Are you on Instagram?
No, and I know all the kids.
You had to be taken dragging and screaming to get on Twitter.
Right, I didn't want to get on Twitter, and now I love it. And the other thing is, I'll get on and be ridiculously active for 2 or 3 days, and then I won't touch it for 2 or 3 days.
I do that too.
I'll get on and do a ton of stuff for 3, 4 days, and yeah, I go back and forth. But people always talk about the whole, you know, oh, everything's so hateful on there. But if you don't post crap, if you don't put out bait, you're not going to get bites. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Really well said.
Like Ben Heisler right now on Instagram just posted honeymoon photos from the most beautiful beach in the world.
By the way, you can follow me at wecallhimrod.twitter.
Yes, he is wecallhimrod. you know, look at this. It's flowers. There's a fire pit. I'm just scrolling. There's some wine.
It's
a whole lot of photos, Scott, of children.
But I wonder
Children. That's what's on Instagram. It's happy photos.
But let me ask you this question. Is it part of the human condition, at least for some people, to want to be angry. You know, they did a study years ago.
I don't want to be angry.
They did a study years ago. I'll try to find it when I get time. And by years ago, I mean, I think it may have been back in the late 90s. Ooh. So good luck finding it. But I'll never forget somebody, our program director here at the time, had printed up a bunch of copies of this report. I think it may have been in Talkers Magazine or something like that. I don't remember. But handed it out to everybody at KMBZ, out in the newsroom, all the talk show hosts, everybody and anybody. Our program director handed it out. The study found that 25% of people that listened to Rush Limbaugh back then hated him.
That's right.
Absolutely hated him with a passion uncontested. So the study went on to ask people, if you hate him so much, why are you listening?
Why are you listening?
The most common response was, because he makes me angry.
But why would you want to be
angry?
I don't
know. That's what I'm asking. Is it part of the human condition to want to be angry or to make other people angry?
I don't know, because some guy yesterday, right before we came on, Rod, goes, great, now it's time for those two dumb A-you-know-whats with a microphone. And I replied back, it's two dumb A's with two microphones.
Yeah, there's several.
And really, who's the A? You're the one listening. If you hate what we have to say so much about Instagram or about crime in Kansas City or about what shows we watched on TV last night, why are you listening?
Yeah.
Like, there are a thousand other things you could be doing. Go knit a sweater. I don't care what you do, but if you're that hateful, why are you here?
Yeah, it's part of freedom of choice. Don't listen. When I got on Twitter and started following all these comedians that I love, I'm like, oh, these guys are so funny. I'm going to follow them on Twitter. And all they do is complain about politics. I don't look at it.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
I unfollowed some. So don't pay attention.
Why am I looking at Twitter right now?
I'll tell you this. I'm going to go with 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 posts have something to do with politics. I've got one about healthcare in front of me, about the FBI director, and he's right. I chose to follow those people, mainly newsy type people, and maybe we just need to rethink the way we're receiving our information and get rid of those people.
Well, most of the people I follow are news organizations or news reporters.
I have friends and, you know, listeners that I've enjoyed their tweets that I started following. And like one of the first people I ever followed on Twitter was some random dude called Josh the Weirdo. And I thought, if he calls himself the Weirdo, I want to see what he has to say.
Right.
He's a funny guy. He lives in Lee's Summit. He's a listener. He's a great guy. That's the stuff I want to, you know what I mean? We joke. We have fun. I don't care if you're mad at the president.
I wonder how long and who among us could go the longest without any social media.
I could do it.
I find that hard to believe.
I find that incredibly hard to believe.
I could do it.
How long?
I think I would win that game.
I couldn't go without texting or something, because that's how I communicate with a lot of people during the day.
But we ought to play a little Master of Our Domain with social media.
Do you think it would be cathartic just to go dark for a while?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's part of our jobs.
Yeah.
He's out.
I'm out. Like Kramer on Seinfeld, Weinbaum is out. Glamour?
Could you do it? Get in here, you big dummy. Could you do it?
No. One is part of my job.
It is. Yeah, it's a big part of your job.
Yeah, exactly. You know, monitoring all the digital platforms and all the social media platforms.
But
and
do
all
you
that.
Do you do it on the weekends too?
Oh yeah, I'm always on Facebook. It's where I engage with a lot of people and share all kinds of stuff.
You sound so happy about it.
Politics and
well, he is the digital editor.
It's where I engage with people.
He is supposed to engage with people. Yes, yes. Digitally. Yes.
That can be taken two ways.
I use all my digits.
Yeah.
Do you have to respond to all the angry people?
Oh yes, definitely. Well, not all of them.
Okay.
Some of them. You know, if they're just going off, thanks for your comments. But other folks, if, you know, they're making good quality comments, well, yeah, we'll engage.
Do you know what I've started doing? This is why your job is digital and my job is not digital. I just send them a link to the nearest psychiatric hospital. It's very effective.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of things to say. And one of the things for me, at least, when it comes to the social media platforms, especially on Twitter, yeah, there's a lot of noise and a lot of anger.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And it's rather important. The politics. This stuff is actually important.
But other than the occasional...
Is it, Dan, for your day-to-day life, is it... I've checked out.
For day-to-day life, no. You can go without learning the latest thing.
Until something happens that's so bad, we're actually talking about removal from office, I have completely checked out.
Sometimes feels like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
And every single day...
There's something.
There's another wolf. There's another one. And so you kind of get immune to all of it, and it becomes background noise.
Yeah.
When this stuff is important, but because of the news cycle, because of the social media news cycle, there's always something coming out, and there's so many multiple platforms out there. That's why I recommend just stick with KMBZ.com and KMBZ's Facebook
page. There you go.
So shameless.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Well spoken.
Somebody says a bottle of good wine says Dana can't go a week without her social media.
I would miss seeing posts of children and posting. I post a lot about my kids. Wouldn't you say 9 out of 10 posts of mine are kids?
Yeah.
8 out of 10. Probably 8 out of 10.
And then random
and
flowers.
News, no, news, a lot of bizarre news stories and stuff. Like today, you Facebooked the folks in North Tulsa that painted the stripes in the road over three pieces of roadkill.
That's funny.
I know it's funny, but I'm just saying you do a lot of that,
yeah,
too.
I do kids, roadkill stripe. Kids, you know, woman today who has so many awful selfies. Police have released like all 20 of her selfies because she robbed a bank.
Well, also remember that you've got a news background. I got a news background. Many of us have news backgrounds.
Quirky stuff like that that's funny to me, I pass on.
We are curious and we want to share information with people.
I'm a sharer, Dan.
576-7798. Dana Wright, Rod Babcock, Scott Parks on KMBZ.
TV is huge. TV advertising in Kansas City starts at $2. Something Different's award-winning TV commercials are dreamed up by our super-duper creative team who bring real-world broadcast expertise to each project. Call Something Different now at 866-774-9900. That's 1-866-774-9900. Visit Something Different at one of our Kansas City locations or online at somethingdifferent.com.
During the break, it's out of a TV station in South Carolina, and we've talked about this before, Rod. How at Dana, how at when I coach soccer, youth soccer, there's one weekend in every season called Silent Weekend, where the coaches are not allowed to verbally coach the kids that are playing on the field.
Right.
We can only coach the kids that are sitting on the bench. You know, when you get out there, do this or try to do this or whatever. We are not allowed to yell anything onto the field. And the parents during these, quote, silent weekends are only allowed to clap. They can't, you know, they can't scream out, great play, or, you know, get the ball or anything like that.
You suck, ref.
Yeah, you ref, you suck. Are you blind? It has gotten so bad in South Carolina that they are trying something out called Silent September. This fall, the entire month.
How sad is that?
Here's where it is different, though, Rod and Dana. The coaches can still coach their players on the field. The parents are not allowed to make any noises regarding the game. No cheering, no jeering, no yelling out to the players onto the field. That's
nothing.
They say it has gotten so bad that the parents are misbehaving so poorly, and what they describe in their memo to the coaches as inappropriate sideline behavior, that they are telling parents, and they have to sign an affidavit for every parent of every kid on a team has to sign an affidavit that they understand what Silent September means, that they're not allowed to make any noise other than a sneeze or a cough, basically.
But doesn't that go to the anger again? It goes right back to the anger.
And I think
if they're being inappropriate.
And I think a lot of parents, as I've mentioned before, try to live vicariously through their children.
I had a friend, after we posted one of these stories the other day, say that her kid locally is an umpire. You know, one of these 17-year-old kids that goes out and works for Little League teams. And she said it got so bad last weekend with parents screaming, he had to tell one of the coaches, you need to calm your parents down. Calm the fans down on your side or we're going to have a problem. They had to double check a rule that he called. People were screaming at this kid. And then she writes, did I mention the players were 7 years old?
Oh my gosh.
This is in Kansas City. This is here. We have an anger problem in America.
I've seen it.
We do.
I was threatened by an opposing coach one time.
Well, that disgusts me. Like, you're kids, man. They're seven. Mm-hmm. What's the...
Remember when that coach wanted to fight me on the field?
Oh, yeah. Walk away,
walk
Parks.
Away. Walk away, walk Parks. Away. Just walk. What are you talking about? I remember looking him dead in the eye. I go, are you challenging me to a fight on a kid's soccer field, you weirdo? I mean, just incredible. Get to more of your calls here in just a moment on Dan and Parks.